This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, September 21st, 2025, Back to School Science. This includes a message from Pastor David and a prayer for our country.
Yes, that's where it's at. Church, you can grab a seat. We're gonna be praying together. Isn't our God an awesome God? An awesome God. There's nothing better than worshiping him. He's so good. And we need this right now, don't we? My family was away for a long weekend last weekend, and we're back. We're coming in, you know, feeling that whiplash when you come back with a short week. And turns out, on the days leading up to last Sunday and after, a lot has happened, hasn't it? A lot has happened in our nation. And I thought it would be good for me to lead this prayer time where we can pray for our country, we can pray for our nation and all the things going on. And I know right now, right away, some people here are going, oh, what's he going to say? And some people are going, oh, what's he going to say? There's been one story in the news that's been dominating a lot of our headlines, and we're going to pray about that. But there's a lot of other stuff going on too that we need to be praying for as well. So I want to create space here where we can pray for our country and for this time, okay? And before we do that, I just want to speak to this moment as a pastor, okay? I want to speak to this moment because all of us are feeling some of this chaos and all in probably different ways. We need shepherding through these times, okay? We need God's wisdom and God's truth for times like this. I've talked to other pastors, and I've heard similar stories in different places all over. And I'll tell you what a lot of pastors are hearing right now, especially from the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, is people reach out to us, and some of them are saying in our churches, if you don't talk about this, I'm leaving. And then other people reach out to us and they say, if you talk about this, I'm leaving. And don't you think that the enemy is just having a heyday in our culture right now, just watching us react? The truth is, we're living in a moment where our algorithms and our news cycles are oftentimes dominated by the spirit of the age. I don't care what your sources are, the spirit of the age is very prevalent, a spirit of outrage, a spirit of contempt, spirit of hatred. God's people are not called to be dominated by the spirit of the age. God's people are called to be led by the Holy Spirit, to have the mind of Christ, to have the fruit of the Spirit in all things. And so it's with that heart that I want us to pray. How do we respond to times like this faithfully? How do we respond when we have a community of people with such diversity? People hearing different things, thinking different things, feeling different things. How do we respond to the things we're seeing in the news, the instances of violence and hatred, all this stuff? Here in this time, in this space, we're going to start by responding with prayer. We're going to pray a prayer of lamentation for the different instances of evil and violence that we're seeing. We're going to pray a prayer of intercession that God would take these things and use them for good and equip us to stand courageously and boldly and lovingly and humbly for his truth. And we're going to pray a prayer of exaltation to remember that in the midst of it all, we serve the King above all kings and the Lord of all lords. Okay? Okay? We're going to pray and name a variety of things, and I just want to invite you to come before the throne of God with me. All right? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we come to you this morning with lamentation. You call us in times like this when we're grieved, when we're confused, when we're hurting, when we're angry, to lament, to pour out our hearts to you, and you receive that. So together, God, we cry out with our hearts aching and our heads spinning for the different instances of evil and violence and hatred and confusion we're seeing around us. Lord, have mercy is our prayer. Lord, have mercy. And so, God, we name before you these people, these situations that we've seen, knowing that they represent only a fraction of all the things we could be lifting up, God. We pray, God. We pray for the family of Charlie Kirk, for his wife and his children, for all those affected by his murder. Lord, have mercy. And God, you call us radically, not just to pray for some people, but for all people, to pray even for enemies. And so we pray for the perpetrator and his family. We pray, Lord, have mercy. That's what you call us to do, Jesus. God, we pray for other instances of political violence we've seen in this nation recently, just months ago, for the families of Minnesota legislators who were attacked in their homes, John Hoffman, Melissa, and Mark Hortman. We pray for their families, God. We pray for the perpetrator and his family. We pray, Lord, have mercy. Lord, this is something I just learned about between services, and I'm so grateful for the sister who let me know. We pray for Delta State University, for the students who were found to have lost their life, and for the community there, for the student body there, for the faculty there. We pray for Delta State University, Lord. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we pray for the officers, the families, the co-workers of those that were shot and killed last week in York, Pennsylvania. For the attacker and his family. We pray, Lord, have mercy. We pray for the shootings that we've seen recently, Evergreen High School in Colorado, Annunciation Catholic Church in Minnesota. We pray for the families, the victims, the communities, Lord. We pray for the perpetrators and their families. Lord, have mercy. God, for our nation, for our culture walking in darkness, Lord, have mercy. Hear our cry. We know this breaks your heart, and it breaks our heart. And we pour them out to you, God. Before we get on the internet and start venting, we pour out our hearts to you. Our anger, our fear, our frustration, our sadness, our heartbreak, our confusion. God, take it. We can't handle it all. It's too much for us. God, have mercy. But Lord, we don't stop there because you don't stop there. And so we want to stand as your people, as a kingdom of priests, to intercede for all of these things, God. We want to pray that you would take that which the enemy intends for evil and do what you always do. Use it for good. Bring redemption. You are the God of salvation, the God of the cross and the empty tomb. If you can take the cross and turn it for good, you can take all of these things and you can use them for good. God, help your people to be ruled by the peace of Christ, not by the spirit of fear. Help your people to stand for truth with boldness and courage and humility. Let us rise and shine in your power for such a time as this. The enemy would want to take these things and just play with our emotions and divide us and send us running every which way. But you take these times as an opportunity for your people to rise and shine and show the world what Jesus is. And so, Jesus, we remember that you said all authority in heaven and on earth was given to you, and that you will be with us always, even to the very end of the age. Lord, in the midst of the heartbreak and the confusion, the division and the evil, we stand on the rock of your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt you. We worship you. We give you our trust and our praise. And we just pray, Lord, help us and guide us through these times. We declare as we finish this time of prayer, your living word, Psalm 46, says God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. And Lord, with your people here and all the company of heaven, we say amen and amen and amen. You are God. You are Lord. And we worship you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 We just want to worship you, Lord. This is the song that's in my heart for this service. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. People of every nation, tribe, and tongue, we cry out together. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. He is the name that brings us together. He is the name above all names. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. Need a breath? This is actually a perfect time to rise and greet our neighbors in the peace of Christ. In the peace of Christ. I encourage you today to be intentional and use those words, the peace of Christ be with you. Greet somebody you wouldn't normally greet and say, the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to the lab. This is an authentic lab coat. It even has stains on it, and I'm afraid to ask what that is. Thank you, Kyle, for letting me borrow it. Welcome to the lab, my friends. As you can see, we got the heavy stuff out of the way at the beginning, and now we're having a little bit of fun. Hello. We're going to just let that. Let's try again. Cool. And I'm not going to, I'm not going to leave this on either. It's a little too constrictive and distracting. But welcome to the lab. What we are talking about this morning actually will be really helpful for everything we just prayed about and everything we're facing, okay? We are going through the Back to School series, which is about the school of discipleship. It's a school that as soon as you say yes to Jesus, you are in for the rest of your life, and you don't graduate from until you graduate from this earth. So welcome to the school of discipleship. We've been studying a lot of things. Today, we're studying science, not the natural sciences for you science geeks out there, although I enjoy that stuff too. But if you will, we're studying the science of biblical studies. Welcome to the lab. Once again, I forgot the safety goggles. I was going to wear those too, but it's too much. So back to school, Bible lab. We're not only going to talk about scripture today, but we're going to do some hands-on activities by the end. We have a Bible lab for you. I'm really excited for this. Hopefully on the way in, you got one of these papers. This is what we're going to use for our Bible lab to actually do some hands-on learning at the end. If you didn't get it, our ushers have extra copies. You'll have a chance when we're ready to use it to get one if you don't have one already and something to write with, okay? What's at stake today is massive. It's nothing less than truth. God's truth. God's revelation. And in all the chaos that swirls around in this cultural moment, and honestly, it's been swirling for a long time, if we're being honest, the big question is, what or whom do you look to for truth? Like, what are your sources? Who do you look to? And it's getting even trickier in an age of like just crazy polarization and social media and artificial intelligence. Like, what is truth? What is true? What can I trust? Is there truth, or is it all just relative? Like, your truth, my truth. Your heart and your feelings will often fail you. People and culture will let you down. Politics will disappoint you. But if you're looking for a source that has stood the test, tried and true through the ages, a rock to build your house on, look no further than The B-I-B-L-E, less, that's the book for me. You know the rest? I stand alone on the word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Okay, boom. Great, I'm a dork. Okay, Matt Smethurst is an author and pastor. He said this, such a great succinct way of saying it. There are only two options when it comes to knowledge of a divine creator: revelation or speculation. Either he speaks or we guess. Either he speaks or we're just guessing. Groping around in the darkness, trying to figure out where to go. We believe this is God's revelation. Everything else is speculation. We can reach out, try to find God and truth on our own terms, and cultures at every age have been attempting to, and sometimes to greater and lesser degrees of success, let's just say. But the only place in which God actually came down to our terms and allows us to know him on his terms is in the revelation of Christ, when he became one of us. And we believe that Scripture is the Word of God become text. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God become flesh. That's J.D. Walt. I didn't have that idea. That comes from J.D. Walt. Listen to that again. Scripture is the Word of God become text. Something we can read and know and share and understand. Jesus is the Word of God become flesh. And those two are inseparable because Scripture points to Jesus and Jesus fulfills Scripture. If anybody ever tries to separate Jesus from Scripture, be careful. Because Jesus himself said, not a single word in here would be wiped away, would be done away with. He affirmed every single word, every single page, okay? And he fulfills it, all right? This is how we know God and find salvation. Not everybody believes this, of course. It does take a step of faith to receive this book as God's inspired word. And many people throughout the ages have challenged it. I've tried to poke holes in it, tried to invalidate it. It happens in every era. And people question it and they wrestle with it. And that's good because there's some hard stuff in here that we need to wrestle with. And that's all right. That's how we grow and learn and God leads us along. I think about the story of the 1700s French intellectual who was one of those who tried to invalidate this. His name was Voltaire. You might have heard him in literature classes. Voltaire predicted in the 1700s in France, he actually said this, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. Okay. Voltaire was a leading writer in the Enlightenment era, building up to the French Revolution. He was also a major opponent of Christianity, along with many acclaimed plays and novels. You might have read some of them in literature. He wrote thousands of publications condemning biblical faith. This was like his side hobby. In 1764, he said, "We are living in the twilight of Christianity." And as we say, that didn't age well. Just 25 years after he said that, the Second Great Awakening swept across America, and hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of people came to renewed faith in Christ in ways that shaped Western society for centuries. 50 years after Voltaire's death, ironically, one of the homes he used to publish his writings was now being used as a storehouse for Bibles and gospel tracts. That's a true story. By the Geneva Evangelical Society is where they stored their gospel tracts. And so now here we are 300 years later, and the Bible remains the best-selling, most published, most translated book in the world. It's not even close. When you see lists of publications of best-selling books, the Bible is never listed because it's completely in a category of its own. It's estimated that currently there are over 6 billion Bibles in print. At least a portion of the Bible has been translated into 4,000 different languages and counting. Even in China, of all places, the Bible went from being a banned book to being unofficially the best-selling book. Crazy. In fact, China is actually home to the largest Bible printing press in the world. Did you know this? It's called Amity Printing Company, which since the 80s has sent over 200 million Bibles around the world. 90 million of those Bibles went to China. So in light of all this, the British apologist Justin Brierley said, "The Bible has a surprising habit of outliving predictions of its death. It just keeps coming back. We can't shake it. We can't shake it." People try to find ways to invalidate it, and it keeps finding ways to be validated. We keep making archaeological and textual discoveries that show that what was written there actually was valid. And people keep opening it themselves and applying it and living it and finding out it's valid. Like, whoa, this actually works. Huh. What does the Bible say about itself? What does the Bible say about itself? You know, the Bible has a lot of verses that talk about the Bible. Talk about God's word. I'm not going to name all of them, but let me just give you a sampling of six or seven of these. And hopefully as you hear these, it's going to stir up your hunger to want more of God's word in your life. Because this is powerful. 2 Timothy 3:16, you probably heard this. The Apostle Paul wrote, "All scripture is God-breathed or inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped." Wouldn't you like to be equipped to handle this life? Lord, help me. Okay, read this book. Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." Psalm 12, verse 6, "The words of the Lord are flawless, like silver purified in a crucible, like gold refined seven times." Hebrews 4, 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That's why sometimes when you hear the word and you hear preaching, it's like, it hurts so good. It hurts so good. Like, it's piercing me, but it's good. Powerful God's word is. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." And Matthew 4, verse 4. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy when he said, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We need this book. We want to be hungering for this book. We want to be filling our lives with this book. And in times like these, more than ever, we need this. It's a lifeline. It's a light in the darkness because it reveals to us the heart of God and connects us to his presence. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, did ministry during the Great Awakenings that we just talked about. Here's what he said about the Bible, and this is, wow. Take this in for a second. "I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I am a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the gulf. Till a few moments hence, I'm no longer seen. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach us the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book." Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. "Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius libri, a man of one book." John Wesley read a lot of books. He was very well read and very learned. He was an Oxford fellow. But he said, "I want to be a man of one book, a person of one book." Do you feel the passion? Do you feel the urgency? Do you feel what's at stake here? That same passion for God's word can be found in the book of Psalms. King David was used by God, inspired by God, to bring this part of the word. In the middle of the book of Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, you get Psalm 119. It's attributed to King David. And it is 176 verses of prayer and poetry all about the Word of God. So you open up your Bible to the middle, and you find the longest chapter in the Bible, and you find it's about the Bible. It's kind of cool. Don't know if you've ever read it, but this is it's an acrostic poem, which means each stanza begins with a new letter. And so it's based on the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, 22 letters. Your Bible might have like a reference at the top of each paragraph that shows you like a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So we're not going to read the whole thing. You might be interested to go and do that. My tape is coming off, and so my mic's like coming around here, but I think let's try one more time. There we go. After every service, I rip it off and I get this like square, like off my beard. It's really fun. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. So anyway, open up your Bible to 119 if you have it. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but you can do that on your own. We're going to read the second stanza based on the Hebrew letter Beth. And here's what Psalm 119 says. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. What would be the outcomes? What would be the fruit if this song was the song of our hearts? If you read the whole Psalm 119, you see that David is wrestling the same way we do. There's some parts like this where it's like, God, I love your word, and I just want more of it, and I want to stay in it. And there's other paragraphs where he's like, Lord, I am struggling so much to live this. I need your mercy. I'm screwing up again and again and again and all over it. You see that journey just like we have. But imagine if you took those words and let them become your words and your prayer and let God's word sink into your heart like we talked about. So, welcome to the Bible Lab. That's what we're going to do. I want to equip you with two examples of ways that you can engage with Scripture, because it's not always easy to do, especially if you haven't had school of discipleship. So that's what we're here for. That's what God's people come together for, is to be equipped. All right? So I'm going to give you, with that page you have, two different hands-on exercises. You're going to participate with me. Two hands-on exercises that are going to help get us into this word and get this word into us. Now, when we talk about studying the Bible, the science of biblical study, if you will, it's an art as well as a science. But there's three major words that kind of summarize what that means and how we go about biblical study, that whether it's at the highest kind of scholarly level or just the most kind of ordinary, basic, everyday, you know, studying my devotions, it's really about observation, interpretation, and application. And this is important because we want to do more than just read ourselves into the text, just read my own thoughts and feelings into this. You know, I can't get away from that. I'm bringing who I am to this, and it's going to shape how I see it, how I hear it. But we need to do more than that, because we know one of the reasons people question the Bible and challenge it is because throughout history, there's an example where people take this and they misuse it for their own agendas, because they're not actually trying to study and understand the Bible on God's terms, on its own terms. They're just taking it and using it for themselves. We can do that in all sorts of ways and justify ourselves by picking this one little verse and being like, well, here, I can do this, and missing the point. You know what I'm saying? We need study. We need reading it together to understand what it's really saying. Observation is getting as close as we can to the details. And again, there's people that go really deep in this. If you go to seminary, you can read a commentary that takes three words and writes five pages on it. And you're like, that was way too much. I didn't need that much. That's okay. But there's so many details to discover as you observe it and just get really close to what's happening in the scripture, whatever one you're choosing. And then you need to be interpreting it. And interpretation is about taking that verse or passage, looking at it in the context of that whole passage or that whole chapter, that whole book, and saying, what's going on here? What is this author really saying? What is God really speaking? It's looking at it even in the context of the whole Bible, putting it in the context of this whole story. It's looking at it in the context of the great, you know, teachers and scholars that God has used throughout the history of the church to help us understand this word in a community. community of God's people. So interpretation is before we're assuming we know what it means, we're trying to understand it on the Bible's terms and in terms of how God's people have wrestled with it through the ages, so then we can faithfully apply it. We can faithfully apply it. The application is where we say, Lord, okay, now I think I have a better understanding of what is really going on here in the book of Romans or in the book of Psalms. How do I apply that message to my life and my culture in the moment I'm living in so I can actually live it out? Because we don't just want to be hearers of the words, we want to be doers of it, right? That's what James says, and we can't do it if we don't understand it, hence Bible study. Good stuff. Okay, now, your first page here is the Bible funnel. Let's focus on that first page first. And if you need an extra copy, raise your hand. People will bring you a copy. Raise your hand. There's some people bringing them around. Thank you so much. We appreciate our team here. Raise up that hand. They'll bring you the paper. This first tool I'm giving you is the Bible funnel. And this is a visual way of kind of doing what we just talked about in a very brief, simple way to observe it and try to interpret it and try to apply it. All right? And this, again, it's very brief, very, very basic. But it's just trying to do it in a visual way. So if you're kind of a visual learner and you like to write things out and process information like this, this might really help you. If nothing else, it'll be fun. What I want you to do is we're going to put the scripture on the screen, so that whole passage that we read from Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. I just want you to pick one or two verses out of that whole thing. There's not enough room to write the whole thing down in your Bible funnel. So just pick one or two verses, a couple sentences, whatever one you're just interested in that stands out to you. And on the very top there where it says write the scripture, you're literally going to write it down word for word. Bonnie talked last week. It was a great message about the concept of encoding and how when we physically write things down, it actually does something in our minds. Okay? And so if you're able to this morning, you can write that verse down because it'll actually help you to sink it deeper into your mind and heart. Okay? Take a moment and pick that verse. Put it back on the screen there if you would. Put the Bible funnel in the verse so they can see it. I want to go ahead and put that. Oh, it's on the middle. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on behind my head here. So pick one or two verses, write them down word for word. I want to see everybody writing, class. Doing great. You're doing great. Now, after you've picked your verses and you've written them down up top word for word, go into the body of that funnel, that big section there where it says summarize the scripture. And here's where you're kind of observing and interpreting. We're doing it fast. We're doing it simple just to start basic here. But I want you to the best of your ability as you read those verses to summarize. What do you think this passage means? What do you think is happening here? What do you think are the main points, the key details? What is it trying to say? Put it in your own words. Summarize it in your own words and the main points you think God is trying to say in this passage. Put that in the part that says summarize in the middle section of the funnel, the big section there. Give you a few moments to do that. I know you could take a long time on that. You may want to go and do this on your own with another scripture and slow it down. You know, get a journal, get a piece of paper and try it on your own. But just to keep us moving, you've written down the verse word for word. You've tried to summarize. What is it saying? What do you think it is in your own words? And now in that last little piece of the funnel there, boil that down into one simple phrase. Not a whole sentence even, just like a catchphrase, a heading. If you were going to make a heading for this passage of what it meant, put that into a few words that'll be memorable. That'll be meaningful to what you think is the message from this verse. Something you can memorize. You can be creative with it or you can just be basic, but just boil it down into one phrase that you could hold on to. Now, the last thing you want to do, which is very important, is the application part there at the bottom where it says create an action step and a prayer. And so I want you to take that verse, what you think it means, how you summarize it and everything, and just create an action step to say, Lord, if I was going to follow through and apply this to my life, if I was going to obey this or bring some message that would affect how I live this week, create one simple action step and just say, I will blank. I will blank. What do you think God would be calling you to do to put this into practice, to follow this word? And then put it into a prayer. Just make a sentence prayer. You know, Lord, help me with blank, or Lord, help so-and-so with blank. Make it a prayer and an action step. This is how we apply it, okay? Take a moment. Good job, class. Bible Lab 1 complete. I know that was fast. You can take it and do it more on your own. If you like that, it's okay. If you don't like it, there's a lot of other ways to study Scripture too, but hopefully that helps. Something new. Second one is a lot different. Second one is a little more about prayerfully getting into Scripture, meditating on it, getting it into our hearts, okay? So this second one, if you flip the page over, gives you the steps if you ever want to do it on your own or with a group, with a small group or something, but I'm just going to lead you through this exercise right here and right now, okay? This one is called Lectio Divina. Sounds like a strange phrase. You might have heard about it. Recently, last couple decades, it's gotten a lot of spotlight in ministry, and it's kind of come back. It's actually an ancient way of praying Scripture, very old way of praying Scripture, and meditating on God's Word, all right? I'm going to lead us through the steps of this. And so the first thing we want to do is just prepare so that we're ready to listen, ready to hear God's Word. And so it might help you to close your eyes, catch your breath. And I want you to prepare to listen. Pray that God would give you focus. Ask God to speak to you and just tell him that you're listening, that he has your attention. Let's pause and pray for a moment. We believe that the Holy Spirit inspired these words of Scripture, and so we want to be in touch with the Holy Spirit as we're reading them so we can understand them and he can enlighten us with them and illuminate them. So now I'm going to slowly read one passage from that psalm out loud that you can just listen to and take in, soak in, prayerfully hear this, and then I'll pause again. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Pause. Listen to that again, and this time I want you to listen to a particular word or phrase that stands out to you. Maybe there's a part that God's just highlighting for you, a word or a phrase. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What's the word or phrase he's drawing your attention to? Next, I want you to take that word or that phrase and just prayerfully meditate on it. Chew on it. Repeat it to yourself silently. Close your eyes and consider what it means. Reflect on what God is saying to you in that word or that phrase. Just pause with that. You might see visuals or images, or you might just be contemplating that word, or he might be drawing your attention through this. Now take that and turn it into a prayer. talk to God about what it's raising in you. You know, you might be moved to worship, or you might want to pray for your life or pray for someone else based on that word that he's drawing your attention to. But just take a moment and pray God's word as you are led. Finally, settle down a little bit more and just rest in God's presence. Simply enjoy being with him and enjoy being nourished by his word. Be open to hear more if he wants to speak to you more, or just be aware of his nearness and the goodness of his word. Just sit in that and enjoy that for a moment. Church family, we want this to sink deep, deep into our lives, deep into our hearts, so that it can get from here to here to here. And right now, as much as ever, maybe more than ever, we need to be soaking in the Word of God, filling our lives with the Word of God. And we want to help you to make this a regular habit, eventually even a daily habit, that we could be spending time with God in prayer and Scripture daily. So many ways you can do that. There's so many amazing tools and resources out there to help you with that. Because I know not everybody learns the same way, relates to it the same way, and we're at different places in our spiritual journey and maturity with God, but there's so many ways to begin making this a habit. You have so many other habits in your life, and those habits are shaping you. We want this to be the habit that shapes us most. That's what God wants for your life too. Let it get deep into your life. I want to leave you with this quote from Dallas Willard before we pray and go into worship. Dallas Willard reflected on some of that scripture that the Psalms were talking about, and he said, deciding to fill our minds with God is how we guard our hearts. To listen to his word and nourish our whole beings with it is not just a nice thing we might do occasionally. Our very lives depend on it. The psalmist gave us the prescription for life when he said, I have hidden your word in my heart. God speaks life-giving truth to us in his word, which is living and active. We need to cultivate a readiness to listen. If it's been a struggle for you to figure out like your habits with God, your daily personal habits with God, I just want to give you a couple resources. We're going to put them on the screen. You can screenshot this. You can go back and watch the video later and get a screenshot of it. And even if you open up the message notes that go out with our Friday updates, you can get that PDF and actually click these links and hyperlinks within it. But these are just five resources that there's a QR code you can scan too. These are resources I've personally used and found so helpful, and they're kind of different types to meet different types of people with the ways that would really help you to engage God's word, but they're all really good. Check out those resources, scan the code, screenshot it. Just want to send you with the question of what is God calling you to be your next step with this? Okay? He's got next steps for all of us, so think on that. Let's say a prayer as we finish in worship. Lord God Almighty, help us to be people who listen first and then speak. Help us even as we go into our prayer times throughout the week and times in your word to start by listening. This world is so noisy. Our hearts and minds can be so noisy and hurried and anxious and full. God, just give us space to be with you and to listen. If we can hear your word, we have everything we need. If we can just hear what you're saying, we've got a light onto our path right there, right there. It's all we need. So God, I know coming into this room, people are struggling with a variety of things. This week, we prayed about everything that's happening in the world, and there's stuff just happening in our lives. But if we can just listen to you, We have a light on our path. The Word of God is a lamp for our feet. So make us people who are hungry for your Word and ready to listen. Cultivate in us hearts that listen and obey. That is the way of life. And Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You revealed it to us. You've given us access to it. Thank you, God, for not leaving us alone. May we go into this week just renewed in our desire to be hungry for you and to listen to you and to follow you, to know that your mercy catches us when we fall and when we stumble and when we fail, and your grace gives us the power to keep walking on. Lord, we just want to worship you and praise you and love you this morning. And I pray that if there's anybody here in this room or anybody online who hasn't yet received your word as the authority from you, received your message as the gospel that saves us, somebody who hasn't yet begun a relationship with Jesus, you'd be stirring in their hearts to take that step today and begin a lifelong journey of following Christ. We know you can do it. We know it only comes by your grace. Move us today to cross over into your kingdom and live for you and never turn back. We praise you and worship you, the name above every name, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the God of love. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let's praise Him.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.